Good evening. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio, where we can be found lots of days at blogtalkradio.com. Yeah, just listen online or actually sign in online. Get yourself an account. It's free. Head into the chat room. Interact with the others. It's fun. It's free. It's easy. Or, you know what? If you're one of those who doesn't like getting on their computer to do stuff, what you do, real simple, is just call in. Listen online. 319-527-6706. And from there, real simple, listen. Now, if you have something you want to say, click on the one. Would you do that? I get a little icon that says, hey, this dude wants to talk. So those are ways to listen live. You can also interact with me anytime. HJP Sports 1980 at gmail.com. That's my email. Or head over to Facebook, Poly Sports, P-O-L-I Sports. Or go to Twitter, at H Holly Sports, at H Poly Sports. You do that, I'm on there pretty much. A lot of times. So, what do we got going on? What do we got going on? Well, there's a lot, as usual, but the year is just starting. But then again, not as much as you'd think. One thing I'm not doing, I am not doing any laughies because I just wasn't in a laughing mood this week. So not that I was in a bad mood, just wasn't in a laughing mood. Hey, if you ever want to listen to something good besides this show, coming on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, listen to the Vito Esposito show featuring Vito and Big Al, Mama Mia at No Sharia. That's 6 p.m. Eastern time. Let's see. I'm here at the official Hank Jones Poly Sports Space Force Observation Outpost. The mini Aussie has been fed. My wife is hard at work over at Acoustic Hank Land. Life is good. Hey, what the heck, you know? Paddling's been fun. A lot of manatees out in Silver Springs. A lot of gators, believe it or not. Saw a lot more the other day than I normally do. Yeah, been good. Let's get to this past week's losses, at least those that I deem significant. Last Thursday, the 4th, we lost actor and singer David Soul to lung issues at age 80. Starsky and Hutch, of course, his most famous role. He then did a song, Don't Give Up On Us, Baby. Yeah, I'm not playing that one. Sorry. Anyway, he was a three-pack-a-day smoker for a lot of years. He was able to quit, but COPD and other lung problems took their toll. We also lost actor Christian Oliver, along with his two daughters, apparently, in a plane crash, I think in the Bahamas. Really sad. Took plane crash right after they took off, or moments after. He's only 61. And then finally, we lost Tony-winning British actress Glynis Johns. She was 100. She played Mrs. Banks in Mary Poppins. She won a Laurel Award for that as Best Supporting Actress. She also won a Tony Award. Friday, we lost former Illinois Fighting Illini linebacker and Los Angeles Raider linebacker Jack Squirek at the age of 64. No cause was listed. His biggest moment, of course, came in Super Bowl 18. He pulled off that pick six on Washington Redskins quarterback Joe Theismann right near the end of the first half. It turned out into a Raiders blowout win. We also lost a former writer and performer, Brian McConaughey, to Parkinson's at age 81. He was a writer for the most part for SCTV, one of my favorites, Saturday Night Live, and National Lampoon. The 8th, which was Monday, we lost actor Aidan Canto to cancer. Appendix cancer, very rare. He was 42. He played Aaron Shore on Designated Survivor. Remember, he was, I guess for a little while, he was the chief of staff. Before that, he was I forgot his position, but that show started out pretty strong, Kiefer Sutherland, but it faded to a rather weak set of storylines, which was made worse by, of course, by the overt slams of anything conservative or constitutional. Yesterday, we lost drummer James Kotick, formerly of Scorpions and also of Kingdom Come. He was just 61. No cause was listed, although it was noted he has battled substance abuse problems in the past. He was also noted for being that rare combination of entertainer and political conservative, at least one who was actually willing to be public with his political views. Sadly, we also lost Amalia Knobs. She was the mother of First Lady Melania Trump and obviously mother-in-law to President Trump. She was just 78. Then today we've already lost video game designer and artist Janelle Jacquet, complications of Guillain-Barré syndrome, just 67. Here's some of her, here's three credits, all of which I've not played. Okay, among her credits, Dungeons and Dragons. No, never played it, never will. But she designed the video game version of that, I guess. She also designed Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. I'd call that a hell of a resume. Pac-Man and Donkey Kong took up a hell of a lot of my quarters through college and various other times in my life. Most definitely. Please continue prayers for Felicia Goodson and her family. She is still going through cancer treatments, but she's evidently close to finishing those. And she's being positive. You know, if you saw the Colts game over the weekend, the Colts did not make the playoffs, and her son Tyler, former Hawkeye, is being partially blamed, at least, for a drop late in the game that would have possibly kept them alive and got them, you know, at least kept the drive alive and maybe got the score. They missed the playoffs. What's not being said, she's acting, and Tyler's taking the blame for it. It was a terrible throw by Gardner Minshew. I mean, it was a terrible throw. Did Tyler get his hands on it? Yes. But if Tyler had caught it, he wasn't going to get a first down. That ball was behind him. He had literally had to switch momentum. He was heading toward the line of scrimmage. He had to shift and turn to try and make the catch. It wouldn't have been a first down. I'm sorry. It was a poor throw by Gardner Minshew. I don't, you know, I'm not going to knock on Gardner Minshew. I mean, that happens. Sometimes guy gets open, and sometimes you just throw it off the mark. But anyway, please keep her in your prayers. Tyler will come back, by the way. He's a good player. He's got the skills, so I don't worry about him. Don't forget the folks at Alliance Communications, Central Florida's premier 24-hour call center, messaging and answering service for your medical clinic, service company, or if you're one of those companies that's not going back to the office and decided during COVID, hey, we're saving money, so you're not going to go back. Well, they're prime candidates for you to handle your frontline calls. Give them a call, 800-555-3738, or look them up on the web at alliancecommunications.com. So today kind of starts with an Iowa theme and ends with an Iowa theme. Last week's shooting in Perry, Iowa, begins with a quasi-update from the Des Moines Register. Basically, the shooter, Dylan Butler, posted some photos on TikTok before the shooting. He photoed himself shortly saying he shot about 20 minutes before school was scheduled to start last Thursday, this first day of school after winter break. He shot six people, including a sixth grader who died. A principal has put himself in harm's way, but he posted a selfie on the social media platform in a bathroom stall with a blue duffel bag. Caption, we wait. Don't know what that was supposed to mean, but was taken down along with all his social media accounts. The song, accompanied by the song Stray Bullet by the rock group KMFDM. It was also used on the personal website of Eric Harris, one of the shooters of Columbine High School shooting back in 1999. Said he had more than 250 followers before his account was shut down. Now, he supposedly made numerous social media posts. It's also been, he had been bullied all through his school years. So, people are talking about that at least. The parents have not been taking calls. Duh. They also found an IED in the school. He had a pump action shotgun and a small caliber handgun. Posts like this, report it, let authorities know. If you see something, say something. Blah, blah, blah. I would like to know how a kid got to be this age, 17 years old. He turned the gun on himself, by the way. But how he got to, you know, how this bullying went on, and then they're lauding people for it. I mean, he was bullied. Continues with this. Students, Iowa students to stage walkout. To stage walkout over this whole deal. Now, I don't know how this is supposed to play out, but apparently the students were gonna walk out, and I'll tell you why it's okay. Planning a walkout of class Monday, which is past Monday, march to the Capitol to protest what they say is lawmakers' inaction on gun violence. The call for students to participate was put out by March for Our Lives Iowa just hours after authorities say dude shot and killed himself. Kid he killed, by the way, was 11 years old. The nonpartisan group that works to encourage young people to become involved in politics began organizing the walkout after students repeatedly voiced their frustration over the school shooting. Shooting has really hit really close to home for a lot of us, says Akshara Eswar, one of the group's executive state directors. People are angry. They're talking about it constantly. They're thinking about it constantly. That's all that we can talk about, and so we need to utilize this energy and try to make sure that our legislators know that we are not happy with the state of the gun laws in Iowa. What was wrong with the gun laws? So students in Des Moines, Bettendorf, Johnson, Waukee, and West Des Moines were expected to walk out around noon on Monday, Capitol in Des Moines. They plan to deliver a letter which lays out its legislative priorities to Governor Reynolds, Kim Reynolds, said Eswar, a Johnston High School senior. Okay. They met that quickly. They got the word out that quickly. Says it would include their prior legislative priorities include a law that would require people to report lost or stolen firearms. And another that would temporarily ban people who have been proven to be at risk of harming themselves or others from purchasing or possessing a gun. Those laws are in place, by the way. It says the ban would be lifted once they received help. Sure. Sure it would. No, it would not. Guarantee you. It says, I think our biggest hope or agenda item, I would say for this, is that legislators understand that we are terrified to be in school. It says, Iowa lawmakers have not prioritized laws that directly impact the safety of children and people in the state in recent years, Eswar said. Instead, the focus has been on laws that ban books depicting sex acts from schools, mandate school administrators inform parents if a student asks to use different name or pronouns, and ban transgender girls and women from playing sports. He says they use all of this in the name of protecting children. But the reality is every day is a gamble. Every day we walk into school never actually knowing what's going to happen that day, and it's not fair that we have to live in that fear. Did anybody see something and say something? Did anybody ever know that this kid had this? Anybody say, by the way, did anyone know this kid was being bullied? Of course they did. Of course they knew he was being bullied. Did anyone say anything about that? Nothing about that. They, of course, give the straw man argument that you can't make laws about transgender kids in schools, kids wanting to change their pronouns while they're minors, or transgender boys competing against biological girls. That argument is that those laws can't be made, but only gun laws. Those are the only ones. What are the state of Iowa gun laws? What are the gun laws? Doesn't even say what they are. You know why? Because whatever they were, this kid probably broke them. I'm pretty sure it's already illegal to walk into a school and shoot people. Pretty sure that's the case. I'm also pretty sure that if this is really bullying, I'm going to guess that there are laws or rules about bullying in schools. Just going to say, it's probably there. Also going to say, probably a few rules broken. They're not concerned about that, though. We have a tweet on X, formerly known as Twitter, from a Blake Montesso that, frankly, is borderline horrific. Joe's like, holy shit, look at these you-know-whats, these N-words. So it's a video of Dopey Joe at an AME church, African Methodist Episcopal Church, and they're dancing and they're singing and all manner of other things, which is fine. Half smiling. He's not dancing. He's not singing along. He's just standing there, looking around like an idiot. And it's hilarious. The comments are gold. One, he's just looking around trying to find corn pop. Another says, you can see the urge to gaff is rising. He's just on the cusp of asking for a watermelon. Another one says, I can see a white guy raised in a black church. He looks right at home there. When he wasn't being raised by Puerto Ricans in a Polish neighborhood and going to Catholic mass, he spent all his time in the black church. He is just, I mean, it's pathetic, of course. Todd, a.k.a. TM72774, which might be even more horrific. It is Dopey Joe claiming that he started the civil rights movement. He says he spent more time in this Bethel AME church in Delaware than just about anybody he knows. But he also said he started the civil rights movement. I started the civil rights movement. So, of course, people were asked, and guess what? People don't even remember him being there, ever. Well, of course not. But they never end from this guy. points out, this is a guy whose idol when he was in the Senate years ago was Robert KKK Byrd. It just mind boggles. By the way, Chris Christie, as I'm reading through this, Chris Christie has suspended his presidential campaign. I mean, it just gets better every day, doesn't it? You know, this guy doesn't stop. He just doesn't stop. I mean, some people sit and make light of this. Well, he's just being Joe Biden. No, it's not just Joe Biden being Joe Biden. He's claiming, one, that he started the civil rights movement, but that he was raised in a Puerto Rican environment, and that he was raised in the black church. I mean, I get that politicians lie, but these are egregious lies. And where's the black community in this? I mean, let's put it this way. If Tommy Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, were to move to Iowa and run for Senate there and go around acting like such a Hawkeye fan, I'd be pissed as hell. As would most Iowa fans. If I were a Marine pilot and some vociferously anti-war candidate comes to speak and talks about how much he loves the military, we got pictures of him burning his draft card, I'd be pissed. Black community pissed. I don't get it. Welcome Joseph Gibson and Boyd the Alaskan to the chat room. This is your chance to come on in, argue a lot with them, or get into it, whatever. Hawkeye Mike is listening to the phones as well. Just got here. Welcome, sir. I really don't. I don't know. Pat C. in Central Florida on Twitter brought this one up. The White House says that Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, will stay at his job despite lack of transparency. Yeah, so basically what happened, Secretary Lloyd Austin had surgery. And spent 3 days in the hospital without informing the president. That was probably a smart move, by the way. He retained Biden's confidence afterward. John Kirby, the National Security Council spokesman, said, told reporters on Air Force One, there is no plan for anything other than for Secretary Austin to stay in the job. Dopey Joe respects the fact that Secretary Austin took ownership for the lack of transparency, but there would be a review of procedures in the wake of the incident to try to learn from this experience. What? Added, there was an expectation that if a cabinet member was hospitalized, that would be notified up the chain of command. He went to the hospital December 22nd for an unspecified medical procedure. That's his business. I agree with that. He did return home the following day. Then he went back to Walter Reed New Year's Day, experiencing severe pain after taking part in NSC discussions that morning on a strike against an Iranian-backed militia leader in Iraq. He transferred, quote, some operational responsibilities to his deputy, Kathleen Hicks, who was on holiday in Puerto Rico at the time. Hicks was not informed of the reason that she was being asked to take on those duties, although the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Charles Brown, was told. Used secure communication equipment to carry out her duties and only found out Austin was in hospital on Thursday, which was the same day that National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Dopey Joe were notified. It was not till Friday, January 5th, that he informed Congress and issued a public statement. I'd say it was at least partially due to his chief of staff being sick, voting for the secrecy surrounding his hospital stay. I get that with HIPAA, there are certain things that are private. But defense secretary is supposed to be instantly available in the event of a national security crisis, which, by the way, with troops, with units being attacked over the Middle East, I'd say we're in a national security crisis. They say we'll do what's akin to a hot wash and try to see if processes and procedures need to be changed at all or modified so that we can learn from this. Really? Oh. This next little ditty comes from Ed Wokeness from X, formerly known as Twitter. So, New York, Madison High School, school of 2,000 students. It's temporarily closing. All 2,000 students will now be learning virtually. Why? To house illegal aliens during a winter storm. City Hall, it says, it's temporary. Said, and this is their statement, the health and safety of the migrants in our care is always a top priority. So students aren't a top priority? Our own citizens that might be homeless aren't a top priority? Veterans struggling in the cold aren't a top priority? Illegal aliens are a top priority. Students have to go to distance learning, remote learning, which we've already kind of learned by experience is not as effective, not nearly as effective. Okay, because we got a winter storm and we've got migrants to take care of. As somebody said, what the actual fuck? At a time when we should be deporting these people, who, by the way, are probably coming from a place that's a little warmer than our Northeast is right now. But no, let's displace students. Is it possible? I mean, is it possible that I'm reading this and it's just totally a joke? Is it remotely possible that this is like some kind of hoax, and that this quasi nightmare is just made up? That this isn't really happening? Seriously, we literally look. I am not saying don't care for aliens, illegal or otherwise. I'm not saying that. Displacing a whole school. Unbelievable. Add Maine, by the way, is a state that, at least for now, has barred President Trump from the ballot. Add them also to the upcoming case that will come before the Supreme Court. You know, how are they doing this with a straight face? Hawkeye Mike's on the line. I might ask him to chime in later if he's got time, if he feels like. I don't understand. Do these people not know the law? Are they just ignoring the law? Are they misinterpreting the law? Is it all of the, I can't believe that they can look. I mean, we're talking about people that want to give the right to vote to convicted murderers people say, well, they've served their time. No, they're actually trying to get – some of these people are trying to get people who are currently incarcerated to be able to vote. You already have places that are trying to get non-citizens to vote, at least in local elections. They're going to try and push it in national elections as well, I'm sure. But you have people – some of these people actually want to give incarcerated felons the right to vote. Convicted. But they want to bar President Trump from the ballot. He's not been convicted of anything. He's been, in fact, impeachments definitely didn't convict of anything. It's beyond bizarre. You know, we already have a thing with DA Fannie Willis, whose lover, boyfriend, was brought into the case, and they've spent like $800,000 on trips and other crap. I mean, after the uproar that happened in Colorado, Maine just went ahead. And again, it wasn't done, but it was just done by fiat. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I'm not even sure how we look at this with a straight face. I mean, I'm not sure whether to laugh or cry when I see, you know, any headline I see like this. I'm really not. But it's going to, you know, it's, I mean, like I said, put Maine down in those, in that list of states that's going to be added to whatever lawsuit or injunction sought. Wendy Patterson, I don't know, folks, if any of you follow her on Twitter. She is a, I'm not sure if she is a media member. She's very well read and brings forth a lot of intelligent, but more than, I mean, intelligent reason, but also constitutional stuff. You know, I mean, she is extremely intelligent. So anyway, has this, attention media. They're only talking about the defense secretary being taken by ambulance after he had complications from an elective surgery. What about when he had the actual surgery? He had to be put under anesthesia. Who knew about the original procedure? How long was he incapacitated? How long was his hospital stay the first time? Now we've since learned it was like a day, but we don't know that for sure. What date did he have the original surgery? And what was our military faced with during that time? Rocket attacks? Drone attacks? Who gave the military authorization to strike at munitions in Iraq and Syria? Who gave the military permission to sink the Houthi boats? Really? It's really important to know these things. We're being, you know, all the administration is saying, well, we're going to try to get some stuff in place. Somebody else made something. Somebody made this the point, prostate surgery is not elective. Oh, I'll just wait and have this done later. It's not really urgent. He says, what a joke. How is it in the daily briefings that no one knew? So it is prostate. There's troops in the Red Sea being fired upon. But no one knew if the Secretary of Defense was on duty. Later on, he transferred stuff, but the day of the surgery, no, he did not. And why was his surgery scheduled time when his next in line was on vacation? I mean, it just doesn't make sense, does it? big sense. Really doesn't. Well, something's trending here. I've seen all kinds of stuff trending. Oh, Alabama coach Nick Saban is retiring. That just broke. We'll talk about that a little later, although I talk about Nick Saban as little as possible, but he had a great career. Let's not knock him. I'm not doing that, but you know what? I'm gonna ask Mike if he can call in now. He's on the line, but I would really like to get his input on some of these things, because I don't understand. I don't understand the whole Secretary of Defense thing. I also don't understand. So he's on. Okay. Mike, how you doing, sir?
Doing good. How you doing, Hank?
Good. I'll talk about it later, but you know already, I broke down and watched the game Monday. I wasn't going to, and I had to do it. So,
I did too, if that makes you feel any better.
All right. So let's start with this. Let's start with Lloyd Austin. Was this just an oversight, do you think, or was this just flat out not caring, not doing his job? I mean, if you had to guess, because it's obviously there are questions about it, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's a certain level of incompetence we've seen in this administration that we've never seen before, even in other Democratic administrations. So I would just throw that out to begin with. But this is really bizarre because I just don't understand if he's going in for, you know, first of all, he's got prostate cancer. I assume that he went in for something related to that. It's an elective procedure. They tried to say it was an elective procedure, but that can only – I think that was just something they said to try to downplay it.
Yeah.
So the problem here is we don't know what really is going on. We still don't really know.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to assess – why there was secrecy, why he didn't tell Biden, why he didn't tell anybody that he was working with, or at least not right away.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This is really weird, but I don't think we know half the story.
Yeah. I would hope it's not ignorance of procedure. I mean, that's what I don't, you know, that's the part that scares me, is that that it's just like, you know, we'll just have to make sure procedures are – I mean, do we not have procedures in place already? I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't. So.
Well, you know, the problem here, too, is you already got a president who acts like he's asleep at the switch. And now, first of all, and someone pointed out, and I think this is a great point, you know, Austin, you know, didn't tell anybody. But
yeah.
Days went by before – I mean, when he finally apparently did tell people, it was news to them. How often are people at the White House in touch with people at the Defense Department?
I would hope.
You know, does Biden
not,
when's the last time does Biden just not talk to the Defense Secretary very much? It's not like we're living in an uneventful world.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's so mind-boggling. This guy could disappear for a few days, and the White House doesn't have a clue. You'd think someone would be trying to reach him maybe, and then, like, where is he? And then after a day or so, they'd be like, what the hell's going on? That never happened.
Yeah, I just don't.
That's what's mind-boggling. I think they had Kirby on the other day saying, well, you know, there was nothing, you know, everything was under control. Okay, well, apparently Joe didn't know what was going on. He's clueless, which we already knew.
Yeah.
And nobody at the White House seemed to know. Austin's in the hospital, not telling anybody. Who's running things? What plan was in place? You know, I mean, we've got men being forces being attacked all over the Middle East on a regular basis. The shipping in the Red Sea, stuff going on with China. I mean, what is going on? It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, you know, do you remember when Ronald Reagan was shot and Alexander Haig made the statement, "As for here, I'm in charge here." Now, everybody's saying, you know, that should have been, you know, he was speaking out of turn and all that stuff. And, you know, was he? Technically speaking, yes. But you remember, he was grilled. I mean, for days, for months, for years, he was, you know, he was vilified for that statement. You know, for taking charge, literally. Our president's been shot, and he takes charge, and he makes a comment, you know. But, I mean, it's amazing how technical about the Constitution the media was then. And now,
well, it's scrutiny of Republicans and no scrutiny of Democrats. It's always been the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
You know, this J6 stuff's an insurrection, but apparently, all the riots, the blowing up police stations and federal buildings, and everything that happened during the George Floyd riots, that wasn't an insurrection.
No, exactly, it wasn't at all. And by the way, my friend that I had on that day, I remember three years ago now, I had my friend on that day who, from high school, who was there. He's been putting more of his stuff on Facebook. I should see if I can get him back on, because he's finally not afraid to, you know, it's, despite what he went through afterwards from his employer. So Kate, now
you mean he was at the January 6th rally?
He was at January 6th. He did not go into the Capitol. He was at January 6th.
Has he been contacted by law enforcement at all?
Yeah, you know? He found out from his employer later on that they had turned him into the FBI for a little background, you know, a little investigation to see if anything happened. He said he was never questioned.
Oh, really?
At that time, he was never questioned. But he said his employer admitted that they referred it to the FBI.
How did the employer know that he was there?
People that he works with knew that he was there, and some of them are liberal. Yeah, some of them are lefties.
So on hearing this, his employer picks the phone up and calls the FBI.
Evidently, yeah.
I'd have a word or two with my employer if that had happened.
It's his former employer, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say. He turns in. I don't know. I'd be consulting an attorney about whether, you know, that was online.
Well, I think that came up. They were he was taking his retirement, and they were trying to fire him and pull his retirement at one point. He said, you know, if we want to go on employment, go to employment law, let's do it. You know, and so he said,
yeah.
Here's my attorney. Here's what's going to be brought up. And they evidently that stopped all that in its tracks. They tried to rescind his retirement and say they were firing him for cause or something.
I wonder what the cause was. Just that he was there? That would have been a hard thing to make.
They would have done it on something else. It's a medical center, like a hospital, and it's one of those things where, you know, I think at one point they tried to get him for dispensing advice, because he's not a doctor, but they tried to get him for dispensing advice. Well, what he was telling a patient was that, you know, you're very sick and you need to stop doing this or you need to start doing or whatever. And that person, you know, filed a complaint. So it's, you know, that's the kind of environment he was working in.
What did the FBI do? Did they contact him or anything like that?
He said they never did.
They just saw there was no there after they looked into it.
Oh, I'm sure.
One of the reasons I'm asking closely on this is because apparently now this radical DA or U.S. attorney that's in D.C. that's been, you know, charged all these hundreds of people and, you know, people that were walking around taking selfies for 15 minutes are getting like a year in jail or 2 years in jail. They're going to start going after people who didn't go into the Capitol. They didn't trespass into the Capitol, but they were just like in the grounds area somewhere.
Yeah.
So technically they could go after them for trespassing. You know, look at the zeal with which they're going after these people. And hardly anyone ever got charged in all the George Floyd riots, which had a hell of a lot more violence and destruction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable how they're, you know, the double standard.
And this
is
why people
know,
think there's a two-tier justice system.
Yeah.
Because there is.
Well, Ray Epps, I mean, you know, and he talked about Ray Epps, I mean, you know, in some of his posts, but, you know, Ray Epps is an example of, you know, how they have managed to, you know, shove so much of it aside. And so let's go on to another. Let's go to Maine. They have now barred President Trump from the ballot. I assume it was on the same grounds that Colorado did, correct?
It was. She made and findings that he, you know, committed insurrection in violation of the 14th, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
On what did she base those findings? Considering
well,
that she never
actually,
held, considering she never held a trial.
No, but what she did, her findings were based on reviewing, to a large extent, the findings made by the Colorado Supreme Court, which were based on findings by the trial court in Colorado. The trial court, see, you have to start with the trial court in Colorado where they actually did have an evidentiary hearing anyway, although Trump didn't really participate, which he didn't have to because it was a civil matter and he thought it was ridiculous, understandably. But
sure.
They made findings, that trial court, of although they ultimately ruled that he couldn't be removed from the ballot on other grounds, they did find that he committed insurrection, and they cited these things. Basically, it was one expert they had on. I mean, the whole thing was rigged, and I won't go through all
sure.
the evidence because I don't know all of it, but I, from what I've read. So then what happened was the Colorado Supreme Court basically they said, no, there was no technical impediment that would prevent him from not being, you know, thrown off the ballot. And they agreed that there was sufficient evidence of an insurrection. But you're right. There was no trial. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
There was really no due process. Well, the Maine Secretary of State then used a lot of the findings, both of the trial court in Colorado and then the Colorado Supreme Court, what they said. And she said, yeah, you know, it looks like these facts, you know, and she barred him. Again, he had no chance to make his own case, and there was no due process of any kind. And
yeah.
the whole premise that this is an insurrection is just utterly ridiculous. Turley had it right. Jonathan Turley said it was a protest that turned into a riot. But this
yeah.
that is a far cry from an insurrection. And you don't need to go very far to know that because not one single January 6th defendant that was convicted of anything has been convicted of insurrection. I don't even think they were charged. And Trump
right.
never has been charged, let alone convicted of insurrection. And that's because the insurrection statute, there is one in the federal code,
yeah.
There's no basis for it. They can't prove. If they could, do you think for 1 minute if Jack Smith thought he could pin an insurrection charge on Trump, they wouldn't have charged him? Charged him with everything
yeah.
else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, because they can't. There is no basis on for a finding of an insurrection under federal law. And you know, I won't get into too much into the weeds. I think on that basis, and you know. There's a concept in the law about whether provisions of statutes of the Constitution are executing or self are self-executing or not. And if
yeah.
they're self-executing, that means you don't have to have a predicate law passed that has to be satisfied in order to make findings. So, for instance, that court and I think the Maine Secretary of State said they don't, you know, he doesn't have to be convicted. There doesn't have to meet the criteria of federal statute. I can just find
yeah.
on my own, basically, that he committed insurrection. Well, I don't think that's right, because if you look at the 14th Amendment, at the end it says that Congress has the power to make laws to enforce the amendment. That suggests to me that it's not self-executing and that
yeah.
you have to tie in something Congress has passed in the law in order to establish that there was an insurrection. That never happened. And
okay.
I think probably that'll be the basis by which the Supreme Court overturns everything.
Okay. So what?
That's very complicated, I know, but the bottom line is
yeah.
this: there was no due process. No, there was no basis in the law to allege that Trump committed and was involved in an insurrection. First of all, he was never physically there. They're trying to get him. That his incendiary rhetoric is what caused it. Well, you know, he was upset. He said that the election was stolen. You know, that you got a First Amendment problem too. But the
sure.
bottom line is there was no insurrection. It's a Democrat talking point that there
yeah.
was an insurrection. They throw it out. They think if they say it enough, people will start to believe it. But it's a complete fabrication. So it needs to be challenged, by the way. Anytime anybody says Trump committed an insurrection, you need to get right back in the face because there's no basis for that.
Yeah. So now Chris Christie dropped out, and he says he's going to do whatever it takes for Trump not to be our next president.
Was he going to endorse Biden? You know,
yeah, exactly. I mean, I imagine what he would do is endorse a libertarian or whatever. But I mean, you know, what is it's the same with Liz Cheney. And Liz Cheney says, you know, that I forgot what her latest one was, but it was like, really? I mean, she made it sound like, you know, Republicans know what Trump did. And it's like, really? Why did they not follow your lead? You know, but these people that are working overtime on this, you know, so theoretically overtime, I mean, What is going on inside of their heads when they're doing that? I mean,
Trump derangement syndrome. They hate the guy. It's what every Democrat, you know, they almost like turn into some gnarling, you know, monster when you mention his name.
Our mutual friend who said
he was a scumbag, our mutual friend. And he said that to, and I was like, you know, well, I guess that's a matter of opinion,
but what's the basis? Yeah.
You just don't like him. You just don't like him. They hate him. The orange hair, you know, you can really get him and say, what specific policies about that Trump adopted that you find so objectionable? And they really can't come up with anything. It's all, you ask them why they hate the guy. It's all about his personality.
Yeah.
It's all about it. That's all it is. They hate the guy. Well, he happens to be a Republican. That's bad enough. But his status is Republican, and they don't like his personality. That's it, basically. And then from that foments all this hatred.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I guess I don't understand why Liz Cheney is working so hard. I mean, I wish she had worked that hard as a congresswoman. I wish Chris Christie – I mean, I don't understand what Trump ever did to Chris Christie. You know, I mean, that I don't.
Well, I think I know. I think there is some personal bad blood there. I think that Christie was upset that he didn't make him attorney general or FBI director or something like that. And I think there's some personal vendetta stuff going on there.
Yeah, but God, I mean, to work that hard to keep someone from being president to me is just, I mean, it is derangement. It literally is. I mean, it's, you know. Because
it's irrational almost.
Yeah, it is. It's very irrational. And I mean, you know, if they say that Trump did that, I mean, what they're displaying is how far would they go? You know, they don't even understand the self-fulfilling part of it, of the, you know, how you're proving that you'll go to any lengths. So
when they say,
you know, well, he said they people, you know, he's wrong when he says, you know, he made accusations that people did. Well, you're living proof that people will go to those lengths. You know, Chris Christie, Liz Cheney, you're living proof in your actions to the length that people would go to make sure he's not president. So to sit there and say that people wouldn't cheat in an election or wouldn't rig an election or wouldn't commit fraud in an election, you're proving it out with some of the statements that you make. You know, I mean, that's just it.
Well,
I mean,
we're going to find out in the next 10 months, and, you know, and it becomes more and more of a threat that Trump's going to win. And it's already getting to that point. They're going to get more and more desperate. And, you know, you can imagine a lot of things they're going to do. But you remember, and Liz Cheney was one of them, was talking about how Trump, you know, he's you know, that's going to be the end of democracy, which is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. The people who are threats to democracy, Trump's not trying to throw his political opponents off ballots in states. Who's the real threat to democracy? Everything they accuse him of, they are. And let's see, as this election season goes on and we have election day and Trump wins, let's see how accepting of the democratic process these Democrats are when that happens.
Hey, we got the Alaska.
And we'll
on
find
the
out
line.
Who the real anti-Democrats are.
Hey, we got the Alaska on the line. Boyd, what's up?
Coons, excuse me. Hi, Hank. How are you guys?
Hey, good. How
listen,
I have
a take on the Austin situation.
Okay.
Along with what else we're discovering.
Okay.
You know, I got a bad feeling that what they're really trying to do is cover for Walter Reed Hospital. You know, he went in for a minor surgery for prostate cancer, or so
right.
they say, you know,
yeah,
which
right.
is okay. And then a couple days later, he's back in the hospital in ICU with an infection.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I've had a couple of friends that have had, you know, surgeries and stuff like that. And then they spend the next almost year getting rid of an infection.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
most
it's
of that
point. That's
has,
a big problem
has all
in
come
from, nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. And most of that, you know, all, basically all of that has come that their surgical instruments and surgical rooms weren't sanitized properly.
Yeah.
And I just, it just, you know, kind of right there in the back of my head, that is what happened with Austin. And they're trying to cover up the mistakes of Walter Reed Hospital. Now, the other thing, why supposedly didn't anybody else in the chain of command know? That I can't question. But,
that's,
you know.
Yes. It's a good
that's,
point.
That's my big question.
I give you credence on that. The one question I would have, though, why wouldn't Lloyd Austin just come out and say, like, you know, complications? I mean, you know, I don't know that. I mean, yeah, they could be very much.
You know why? Because the first, you know why he didn't? Because the first impulse of this administration, you can see this all across the board, is to not be forthcoming about anything.
Yeah, that's true. But then, I mean, I guess, why cover for, I mean, why do they need to cover for, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to think, if Walter Reed, if something happens at Walter Reed, that's a pretty big deal, no doubt. But, I mean, look how they've covered for, I mean, they were more blatant in how they covered for people during the COVID mess, you know, the way people have covered for Fauci continually. I mean, I don't know why they would. I think maybe they're covering for Walter Reed from the standpoint that Walter Reed should have said something. I mean, that's another question. You know, I know there's HIPAA laws. Don't get me wrong. I worked in an industry where I had to obey HIPAA
right.
laws. But, you know, if something happened, if a John Doe comes in off the street, it's been hitting a hit and run, you better believe if it's Lloyd Austin that's been hitting a hit and run, he's unconscious, they're going to call out. You know what I mean? So I have a hard time believing that, I mean, I don't know. I think possible, certainly, that they would be covering, but I don't know why, in a sense, why is it letting Lloyd Austin off the hook, though? Because in a sense, boy, that lets Lloyd Austin off the hook as well. It makes him the victim, you know what I mean? And already they're already putting him as the victim rather than the person who should have been forthcoming with where he was and what was happening. But that's a good, thought. I hadn't thought about that.
You know, I mean, with Walter Reed supposedly being the premier hospital,
yeah.
You know, and all the government goes there, you know, all
right,
the congressmen
right.
and everybody all go to Walter Reed, you
right.
know, when they have a problem.
Sure.
Including the president. You would think that they wouldn't want that to get out.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
You know, still in all, I would suspect, you know, had he not gotten the infection to begin
right.
with, this wouldn't be a thing, you know, even
yeah,
though
true.
He went to the hospital and he was out for a couple hours. I'm sure for the surgery, you know, he was excused, shall we say,
yeah.
you know, and people knew what was to go on and everything like that. But the infection stuff, you know, that's that becomes highly suspect to me that they are trying to cover Walter Reed's ass.
I'll go you further. You know, we're hearing prostate, but you know, maybe he had some. Maybe he had another virus. If you get my drift, maybe he had another infection. of an unsavory nature,
We're speculating because they won't reveal.
We're speculating because they haven't told the truth. I mean, it doesn't add up. Yeah, doesn't add up.
Yeah, but you know, and then again, we don't know what the nature of the infection is. And, you know, could it have come from not being sanitized in the OR room, which I would suspect that's where it came from.
Sure.
If he went in and he was completely healthy.
Right.
Or did he have something else and it wasn't prostate? And they were just, they're covering up whatever else it is that he may have that's more serious than prostate cancer.
Yeah, or maybe he thought he had a prostate problem, and docs at Walter Reed said, "Dude, that's not your problem. Your problem ain't your prostate.
Yeah.
that burning sensation comes from something else." I mean, I'm just saying.
There's no telling, you know, what may happen. So, you know, they're taking the. They're taking what they consider a less lethal approach to whatever it is that he has.
Yeah,
you know?
that's a good point. That is a good point. Speaking of Alaska, is Trump going to be allowed to be on the ballot there, or are they going to figure out a way to get him off up there too?
I don't know. I heard there's an attempt up here. I don't think... If it happens, I think there will be some major uprising around here.
But aren't the Republicans kind of running things up there? So,
But, you know, I don't know who's filed this or anything. I think whoever.
Well, the one good thing.
It may have been a Republican that is doing it up here.
Well, the one good thing that's going to come out of this is in about a month, I would guess, month and a half, Supreme Court's going to settle this, and it's going to be you can't do this. And the beauty of that will be that it will have nationwide effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing in reading the 14th Amendment, okay, who's else on the line? I forgot. I'm sorry.
Hawkeye Mike.
Okay. You read the 14th Amendment, and you quoted Section 5. Of the 14th Amendment, and they're replying all working on Section 3 for the insurrectionists. If you completely read that section, you'll notice at the end it takes 2/3 of the House, 2/3 of the Senate to allow somebody to get back on, you know, and this is what happened back in 1873 when Grant was president, because that was the real insurrection, was the Civil War.
You actually had a whole class of people that took up arms against the United States and fought a 4-year war against the United States.
Yeah, and there's another key factor was taking up arms. That's an insurrection. Nobody in D.C. on January 6th had arms, you know.
Other than the Capitol Police. Except the guards.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes. They're the only ones that had arms. But it's, you know, in 1873, they lifted all of those restrictions on most of the people in the South so that they could be elected. In fact, the vice president of the Confederacy was elected to Congress. He should never have been on the ballot.
Confederates went back into Congress, that's true.
You know, and there was quite a few of them that went into Congress and other offices after that in 1873. So basically, they kind of nullified that section, and Congress had the authority to do that.
Yep.
And they did it.
So it'd be interesting. Have they found Hale Boggs or Nick Begich yet up there?
Oh, hell no.
Here's something you ought to listen to, Boyd. If you're into listening to podcasts that you don't have to listen live, a guy named John Walczak has done a podcast series called Missing in Alaska, and he talks about the whole, you know, the conspiracy of what happened with that crash with Hale Boggs and Nick Begich, and including Begich's widow, supposedly meeting Mike, you'll again dig this, meeting in Arizona with Joe Bonanno back not long before it happened, supposedly. Yeah.
A man of honor.
Yeah,
exactly, well, a man of honor. Listen to it. It's called Alaska.
Here's a little tidbit, okay?
Okay.
When that happened in the Army, and I was stationed up here, and we were all called back in, and the reason why we were all called back in was that we were possibly going to be deployed down there to go look.
Okay.
And go search.
Right.
We never did get deployed, thank God, you know, because walking around on glaciers and stuff like that, it's not a real safe thing to be doing, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not absolutely positively trained. We would have lost probably more of us than we would have found. So the other thing is I think they went into the water.
Yeah.
You know, and just nobody ever was able to find them. And there's a lot of aircraft that, you know, disappear and they went into the water someplace and, you know, no trace of them.
Yeah, that Malaysian flight from a few years ago, they never found a trace of that because it went into the Indian Ocean and that was it. Yeah.
Well, they did find some PC parts that came off of that.
Right.
You know,
a lot happens in a plane crash. I mean, something happened at hundreds of miles an hour. You know, water at that speed and from that height, from that altitude, water isn't this soft landing. It's not
like landing on a cloud,
you know. Yeah,
landed on water. Well, go out there, and the next time you're at a swimming pool or something, go to the diving board and do an intentional belly flop. And tell me that when you hit the water, it's not like hitting concrete.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I mean, it's there was a lot of conspiracy. I shouldn't say a lot, but there was some conspiracy theorists, you know, theories about that, you know, Boggs was looking too much into the JFK thing, that Begich was somehow involved or his wife was involved or something with the mob. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff like that. It's interesting. If you ever get a chance, it's called Missing in Alaska. So, I had to bring that up. But speaking of walking on glaciers, I did walk on a glacier back in September when my wife and I were on a cruise up there. It was, you know, with a guide service and everything, and it was really fun. But I also wasn't, you know, it also wasn't one where the glacier was calving. We weren't out by the ocean part of it, you know. We were up by the frozen river part.
No.
So,
you were walking on Mendenhall Glacier. Is that the one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you live in a beautiful state, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Southeast Alaska is not like up north here where I'm at.
Sure.
I mean, we've got, huh?
Where are you at?
I'm in Anchorage.
Oh, okay.
Anchorage,
that's
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you really look at Alaska and stuff, there are about six very distinctive geological areas in our state. And you were down in probably the prettiest area of the state. But boy, is it a miserable place to live too. I lived down in there. I lived in Juneau and worked all of Southeast Alaska for years. And, you know, if you don't mind being wet or be like Ducky and get webs between your toes, you know, that's a great place to go.
Yeah.
And
very
wet place, you're right. It's absolutely totally gorgeous when the sun comes out.
Yeah.
In fact, when I lived in Juneau, we used to take what they called Sundays.
Okay.
You know, when everything stopped and everybody went out and enjoyed it.
So something else that was, you know, you hear about salmon ladders. And so I'm expecting to see the salmon run. Man, nothing was more depressing. Uh-huh. I mean, I assume you've seen those, but it's just this place for fish to try and jump. And then you find out one out of every 100 that comes down to the ocean, only one out of every 100 makes it back upstream. And there's like hundreds or thousands of these dead salmon laying in these pools. Man, that was not an uplifting part of the trip. I'll tell you that. That was
being a salmon is a tough life, you know, especially once you hit the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So, yeah, it's not enough that you got birds and bears after you, but then you got to make it upstream. So, yeah.
Well, birds, bears, fishermen, all sorts of dangers in your life as a salmon.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and other fish, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a beautiful state. And, I'm glad I did it the way I did it too, because, you know, I always used to say, who would want to go on a cruise? You know, I want to see Alaska. Well, man, if you didn't do it by cruise, if you were driving your way around Alaska, it would take you forever. I mean,
you'd still be doing it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
No. It wouldn't take you forever to drive around in Alaska. It'd take you, you know, a couple days, especially if you just took it nice and easy.
Yeah.
Because we've only got maybe, I'm going to go on the high side and say 2,000 miles worth of road up here.
Really? That's it? Well,
that's
I know that even, I know you can't just drive into a lot of places, for instance. They talked about that. You couldn't, you know, it wasn't accessible by car, you know. I mean, it was kind of, which I know that's not unique to Alaska.
You can't go to most places in Alaska. It's all fly in or go in by boat.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of, but yeah, that inside passage and everything on the way down was gorgeous. I mean, it was overall just a gorgeous place. I mean, it really was. And I will definitely make my way back
to get up there.
Yeah.
But,
well,
do you
feel up in Alaska that you're insulated from all the craziness that goes on down here in the mainland? Washington,
I do.
Rest of the country,
I feel like we are fairly insulated, just because, you know, people want to start doing the crazy shit, like, you know, after Floyd's riot and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they're not going to go very far. You know, they might go out to start the protest and start one or two fires. And then they'll be going, you know, to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't going to put up with it.
And I don't think anti-gun marches go over very well in Alaska.
No.
I would not think.
Well, you know, it's a They're like comedy shows for us, you know.
Okay, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. When they do, you know, everybody goes out and just laughs at them.
Well, you know, the reason I bring that up too is because it occurs to me that you do have that insulation, but you're seeing down in this in the lower 48 where big shifts are going on, people moving out of blue states, trying to get to red states because they're looking for some freedom. And,
yeah.
You know, people leaving New York, California, going to Texas and Florida, Tennessee, a lot of other states. I guess you don't have to worry about that in Alaska.
Well,
no,
yeah, we do. You know, we've got down to the point here in town, started to call ourselves Los Anchorage.
Really?
Too many Californians coming up here. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Or their ideas are coming up here.
Yeah, it's the same as the ones that leave for like Montana, but then they take their politics with them. You know, I mean they that's what I don't understand. Is if somebody leaves Illinois, for example, because of taxation and everything else, but
yeah,
then they go to
it's intolerable.
Yeah, but then they go to Florida and they vote the same way. They don't vote for Pritzker because Pritzker's not in Florida. But if he was, that's who they. I mean, that's what I don't get.
Well, I don't know if it's happening though. I mean, I'm wondering if maybe the main group of people leaving are the last Republicans and stuff. So these places are becoming bluer and bluer. And I've got an example of that with my sister and her husband. They lived in New Jersey, got sick of the taxation, got sick of the garbage. And they moved down to the Austin, Texas area, and they love it down there. So they're an example of Republicans in these states leaving. Hopefully, I mean, I have the fear you have, but hopefully it's mainly just, Republicans or independents that are fed up getting out.
Yeah, well,
that won't happen.
Austin is not Republican at all.
Suburb. Yeah, inner Austin is like the liberal, it's like the Madison of Texas. Madison,
right.
Wisconsin. But they're in a suburb and it's pretty red.
Yeah. But yeah.
And
I mean,
don't mess with guns down there.
But they're still outnumbered there in Austin. And it's kind of getting bad, you know.
Well, and Houston, Houston is a huge city now, a hugely growing city still, and it's like, the leadership of Houston is as blue and as idiotic as it gets. I mean, they're New York and some of California got nothing on some of those folks in Houston. I mean, I don't even remember who it was, but remember they had something a few years ago. What was it? There was something that went on in Houston and it might've been a Planned Parenthood thing or something idiotic like that. But, and I think then they make, didn't they make themselves a sanctuary city as well? I think it's
probably.
Yeah. It's not a,
well,
it's
you
not
know,
an
a lot of, you got to look at it this way too. Where are they moving to? They're moving into places that have freedom and they have money. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are they moving there? Well, there's more money there for the welfare programs and stuff that they love so much.
That's true. Yeah, I mean they need money to pay for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you get states like California and New York are destroying their tax base because all the productive people are leaving. What's the latest news today in New York City? They closed down schools and are going to virtual education so they can house illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, who even came up with that idea? You know, that's what I don't get.
I know after a couple of years of COVID and all the damage that did to kids not being able to go to school, and now they do this. That it's like a knee jerk reaction. Oh well, just do they not have any other buildings besides schools that they can put these people in?
Yeah, I mean it's just
amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So anyway, one more item before we take off because I'm only doing an hour and a half tonight. I wanted to get you guys since you both served. Thank you. story of the epic time, there's about 200 veterans and service members that are pledging to hold the military accountable for the COVID vaccine mandate. Has either of you guys seen that?
No, but I hope they succeed.
That was
a travesty.
Yeah, they said they signed 231 current and former members who have signed an open letter vowing to hold accountable those who implemented the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Is this conservative posturing, do you think, or?
You know, I'm sad to say, but it probably is to some extent, because I don't think in the law they're going to, you know, the federal government, the president and the Defense Department has a lot of authority to do even stupid things like this. It's going to be hard to try to get a court to find that they exceeded their authority. This should be used in the campaign as another reason to get these clowns out of office, because they basically in the last 3 years have been trying to ruin the military, and that's my opinion anyway.
Yeah. So here's what it says. Go ahead, Boyd.
I was going to say, that would be akin to what's happening right now, and hopefully you don't have to wait so frickin' long. But, you know, you see all the commercials on TV and everything about the Camp Lejeune issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And they've got every right to go do that because, you know, at Lejeune, they knew they had problems with the water for ever and never went in to do anything about it. You know, so everybody was forced to be there and drink that water, you know?
Yep. So here's what it says. It was published on January 1st, an open letter directed to the American people, but named specific senior military leaders who the signers of the letters claim enabled lawlessness and betrayed the Constitution. They said, here's part of it. It says, in the coming years, thousands within our network will run for Congress and seek appointments to the executive branch offices, while those of us still serving on active duty will continue to put fulfilling our oaths ahead of striving for rank or position. For those who achieve the lawful authority to do so, we pledge to recall from retirement the military leaders who broke the law and will convene courts martial for the crimes they committed. And that's posturing. That is posturing, because I don't know
that's
how you
probably
can...
a little bit of hyperbole, yeah. But, I mean, I hope that they're successful, that, you know, in terms of running for office and trying to sort of take back the military a little bit. I think... it was a huge disastrous decision. We lost a lot of good people. And, you know, for what?
They're
problematic.
And now they're crying to try and get them to come back.
Yeah,
that's right. They are. They have been. They've been offering, and, you know, it's hard to blame them if they don't want to. But
well, I mean, I guess, you know, what I – What did they expect after that? You know, that's what I don't get. What did they expect? I mean, they just said, you know, you're not good enough to serve, so to speak, or you're not obedient enough to serve. But now we've decided, well, what the heck, you know, we want you back. I mean, who would go back? You know, that's what I don't, you know, I mean. So yeah, they have every right to do what they've done. I mean, that's just, I think, hopefully, I here's the other thing that I don't think is being, you know, and Boyd touched on with the Camp Lejeune thing. I don't think we are going to know for a while just how bad this vaccine was for some people. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I do the obituaries at the beginning of every show. And I sort of do it, not as a joke, but to just sort of keep in touch with what's happening out there, who's, you know, who we're losing and who, you know. But, I mean, you're seeing all kinds of stuff. Go to Wikipedia or, you know, just Google notable deaths, and it'll take you usually to a Wikipedia page. You go through there and you look how many athletes in their 20s and 30s are dying suddenly all of a sudden? I mean, it's not, you know, it's a lot more than you were. If you archived and looked at 2017 or 2019, it's a lot less percentage-wise. Now it seems like every week you have a couple athletes that are just seemingly healthy, you know, that are dying off. So I don't think we're going to see that for a while. I mean, hopefully we'll see it sooner rather than later. But so, you know, anyway. Hey, guys, we're up against the hard end of the show. So I just want to clear some stuff up before we get going. But I want to thank you guys for being on and adding some light to all this. I think it's really important for people to know that, you know, these insurrection charges are just what Mike said. They're just making them up. They're grasping at straws. And as Boyd says, we don't really know with Lloyd Austin that, you know, maybe they're covering for something else. And Walter Reed would be one of those things, you know, an institution too big to fail, so to speak. So in the meantime, I want to thank Boyd and Mike for their calls, as well as Joseph Gibson and Duck Northwest Media, now known as Snowman James, for being on the chat room. My big sister, who just had a birthday yesterday, happy birthday. And to T. Bodie, who came in a little late listening in. In the meantime, listen to catch Osama Duck Duck this Saturday, 10 p.m. to midnight, with the beautiful Christy, revealing the truth about Islam. And then next Monday, 6 o'clock Eastern, the Vito Esposito Show, featuring Vito and Big Al. In the meantime, guys, be safe. Have a great rest of your week and weekend. And hopefully let's come back and we'll do it all again next week. In the meantime, folks, good night. Have a great and blessed weekend. Amen.
Take care, Hank.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Hank.
Good night, boy. Thank you, guys, both. Good night, folks.